some investors see something more important than the elections.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts its day. Well, you've heard all about the politics of the midterm elections, but in a moment, we'll ask what today's vote will mean for attempts to create more jobs. First, where's Wall Street? The Dow is up 73 points right now at 11,198. The NASDAQ up about 0.8%, and the S&P 500 up about 0.2%. BP reported this morning that it has returned to profit just 6 months after the Gulf of Mexico oil spill. We also heard from ag giant ADM and drug maker Pfizer this morning. Both reported lower than expected quarterly results. Now to Julie Niemann. She's with Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis, and she joins us on Tuesdays. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, Jeremy.
Well, first off, we've got these two big stories today. Obviously, the midterm elections, but also the Fed starts its two-day meeting today that many are expecting is going to end with some kind of announcement about injecting more money into the economy. Julie, which of those stories are you and your investor friends paying more attention to?
Well, the election's pretty well baked into the market. We're expecting the Democrats to win the Senate, the Republicans the House, which means there's going to be no further government stimulus. And that did account for about 1.5% of growth here in the United States. So we've got a stalled game for the next 2 years as we breathlessly await the 2012 elections.
Okay, well, assuming all those predictions are correct and Republicans do make big gains in the House, how does that change the Fed's role in getting the economy going again?
Well, the ball's completely in the Federal Reserve's court, but the problem is it's a deflated ball. QE2 starts tomorrow, in all likelihood they're going to be
quantitative easing, right.
Buying about $500 billion worth of government bonds. This will pour more money into the banks. Interest rates are going to stay near zero, and lending stays very anemic to businesses. Banks have little incentive to lend, so it's not going to have any other effect other than to put the financial institutions awash in cash.
Well, we'll still be watching what happens tonight. Julie Niemann, analyst with Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis, thanks so much.
You bet.
The federal government is offloading a big chunk of its ownership in General Motors. In the next day or so, GM is expected to file final papers for an initial public offering. But if the government is selling shares, who's buying? From Washington, Marketplace's Scott Tong says a lot of buyers are overseas.
Investment bankers are said to be shopping the IPO to investors in places like Kuwait, Qatar, and Singapore. And there's talk of investment from China. State-owned Shanghai Automotive is a longtime GM partner there. Here's analyst Bill Russo at Synergistics.
They bring low-cost production capacity, and they bring a fair understanding and knowledge of what it takes to compete in some of these emerging markets.
If the Chinese buy a small piece of GM, expect political heat. But Russo's analysis? Chill out. GM is already becoming Global Motors.
GM is transitioning from a North American-centered company to a more global company with a new center emerging in its largest overall market, which is China.
Its China partnership has turned Buick into a top seller there. And the joint venture's next venture is India. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation Defender, protecting online privacy by monitoring the web and removing your personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com. By Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio. And by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 1 million tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
If all goes as planned weather-wise, the Space Shuttle Discovery will launch for the final time tomorrow. It's one of the three remaining shuttles, which are all facing retirement. NASA is transitioning more of its $19 billion annual budget toward other spacecraft that can travel deeper into space. Paul Barrett has written about the economic consequences of all of this for the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week, and he joins us now. Welcome to the show.
Thanks very much.
Well, first, I want to start with a line in your story. 8,000 engineers, technicians, and other employees are going to lose their jobs because of the retirement of the space shuttle. What is this doing to Florida?
Well, what it's doing is making a really terrible economic situation much worse, particularly in the small towns around the Kennedy Space Center on the east coast of Florida.
But as you report, the impact goes far beyond the borders of the state of Florida. This really has to do with American competitiveness.
It does. While the American space program is adrift, the programs in countries such as Russia, China, India are really cruising ahead, and the United States stands to lose a significant portion of the market in the global space industry.
Where does the problem lie?
Well, the problem lies in several places, but one place to start is in the fact that the federal government has come to treat the NASA space program as more of a federal jobs program, spreading resources out across a large number of NASA centers around the country and worrying more about preserving jobs as they exist rather than looking out into the future and figuring out how to best deploy resources. So politics is one big part of the problem.
Paul Barrett, after doing this reporting, do you think that the U.S. will be able to remain the world's leader in space?
I think that is now very much open to question. With rising China, rising India, there's a real serious question whether the United States will remain on the cutting edge in this hugely expensive undertaking that requires centralized and collective action. This is not something that can be done by rugged individuals. Basically, the whole country has to pull together and agree to do this and to spend a lot of money.
Paul Barrett, who's got a big story on NASA in the latest Bloomberg Business Week, thanks so much for joining us.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
And finally, forget installing that expensive home security system or that sign that says you have a pit bull or something, even if you really don't. According to researchers at the U.S. Forest Service, planting trees would be a cheaper option to deter crime. The researchers say trees make would-be burglars think that the neighborhood is better cared for, so they think they'd be more likely to get caught. Well, you can tweet me your favorite crime-preventing trees, whether it's a weeping willow or a smoke tree. It's at Jeremy Hobson, at Jeremy Hobson. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
It's the economy, stupid, that famous line from the presidential campaign in 1992. But you know what? The president doesn't really run the economy.
Olympia Snow might be just about as important right now as President Obama in terms of ability to create, do things like extend unemployment insurance or pass a fiscal stimulus.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the Freakonomics of how much a leader really matters, and the day's business news next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.